Hello, I'm Anna Walker, Associate Director for Europe at Control Risks, and this podcast is part of our series for RiskMap 2016. I have with me two of the senior analysts from our Europe team, David Lee and Sveta Konecka, and we're going to talk about the rise of new political parties in Europe, both on the left and the right, in what's been called the Age of the Outsider. Dave, to start with you, this idea really gathered momentum about this time last year when it became apparent that Syriza was likely to win the Greek elections. How has this wave of left populism gone, and where do we think it might go from here?
Well, Syriza's year in charge has been pretty mixed, to say the least. They had to stage a rather odd referendum, then go through a split and another election in order to stay in place. The problem is that as a left populist government, they're serving three masters. They've got to be left, they've got to be populist, and they've got to govern. And that last one means doing things that aren't either of the first two. They're still with us as we go into 2016, though, so they're taking enough of the electorate with them. The year hasn't been so kind for their sister party in Spain, Podemos, who've really fallen back from their high point at the European elections in 2014, and they expect them to fade further still now that the big electoral breakthrough at national level that they so hoped for has failed to materialise. The UK Labour Party's moved left too, and that doesn't look like being much of a success either.
So, what about the new right populist parties? The National Front in France rounded off the year with a strong performance in the regional elections, but it didn't go quite that well for UKIP in the UK.
No, and both of those illustrate the big problem that a lot of these so-called outsider parties will have. The electoral system makes things really difficult for them in different ways in different countries, but it really makes it hard for them to turn votes into power beyond a certain level, and that can cause a loss of momentum. And rather like a shark, these parties need to keep moving forward in order to survive. It's the same with Alternativa in Germany. We talk a lot about the outsider parties, but most of the real power is still in the hands of the insiders, mostly the insiders on the centre right at the moment, of course, because social democracy in Europe's going through its own long dark night of the soul, and that's another big factor. Where these outsider parties have got space to influence governments is in referendums. It's always been the populist favourite tool, and the pressure they put on the mainstream centre-right parties is showing in this, most notably in the UK, of course, where a referendum on staying in the EU lies ahead because of vocal pressure on Cameron from his right, from UKIP, and from the right of the Conservative Party. The outsiders are already sort of on top in Switzerland, where using the referendum system has been the Swiss People's Party's key route to power, really. And they're nearly there in Austria and the Netherlands, where they're polling strongly and in the lead. So it's difficult to generalise, and Europe's broken up into a few sub-regions on this. Some where the polarisation's on the downscale, some where it's got a way to go, and some where it hasn't really played out at all.
Yes, and I think the Nordic countries are somewhat different again here because here we see the outsiders much closer to the heart of power. So, for example, there are junior partners in the coalitions in Norway and Finland. The government relies on the People's Party in Denmark, and then we have the Sweden Democrats riding high in the polls at a particularly unstable time there. One of the things that unites these parties is actually the thing that's eventually going to divide them, though, and that's that they're all necessarily quite nationalist in their outlook, even some of the more left-wing ones. So all of these countries are really experiencing this polarisation in different ways. I think the idea that the pressure is telling on these mainstream parties is true pretty much everywhere, and particularly in Central Europe. Isn't that right, Sveta?
Yes, and we can look first of all at Poland, where Law and Justice won a majority in the November elections. It is a conservative party, part of the political mainstream in the country, but its rhetoric and stance on issues are closer to political fringes on the right rather than the centre. Law and Justice is a very vocal opponent of immigration, rejecting the EU deal to accommodate several thousand Syrian refugees. They have similarly radical attitudes towards family planning and secularism, as well as are openly hostile to attitudes towards Russia and Germany, which distinguishes them from most of their center-right peers. What they have succeeded in doing is what you've already mentioned, only more so. They've shifted the center of the political debate on a number of issues a long way to the right and towards the position of the Catholic Church, to which they're very close.
So looking forward, is that shift going to cause problems at the EU level?
Well, it's true that the blend of policies we're seeing in Poland or Hungary aren't exactly the kind of thing that the EU has become known for. A lot of it is a reverse of what these countries spent much of the post-communist period doing. 2 decades of market reform and chasing after foreign investment are now being replaced by promotion or even protection of domestic businesses, and in some places, taxing those foreign investors to raise money for populist projects.
Now, you mentioned the migrant crisis. Do you think this is going to be a game changer for these populist parties? Are they going to make hay from this?
Well, immigration has never really been an electoral issue in Central or Southeast Europe, unlike further west, until now. So the most symbolic reversal of all is the building of fences and walls on external borders, as Hungary has done in response to the migrant crisis, given the tearing down of walls in the 80s and early 90s, and is very far removed from the no borders, one Europe rhetoric we heard from these countries a decade ago when they were joining the European Union.
Dave, the EU really is a big factor in all of this, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's pretty much the one thing that all these parties across Europe can agree on. They're not keen on the EU, even the left populists, Syriza are ambivalent, Podemos a bit more opposed, the recruitment in Italy and Portugal clearly so. And it's an easy target for a lot of their anger, precisely because it's remote and it's not at that national level. The EU's become associated with immigration from outside in Central and Southeastern Europe and with immigration from those same Central European countries in places like the UK and Ireland and Germany and the Netherlands. One of the reforms on which the UK referendum is going to turn is a restriction on migrant workers from the likes of Poland and Romania and Hungary to claim tax credits and other state benefits.
So where does this go in 2016?
Well, it's a fairly quiet year for elections in Western Europe, actually, the year coming up. Only Ireland's scheduled to elect its parliament, so these issues are, yeah, they're somewhat a plain island, but not to the same extent as elsewhere.
And it's only Lithuania, Romania and Slovakia in, on the other side of Europe, so it doesn't seem like a busy year at all.
But I think many of these parties actually build most effectively in those years when there isn't really a lot happening politically.
Yeah, that's right. And what they'll be doing is building for a big year in 2017 when there are elections in France where the Front National wants to do very well. In Germany, where Alternativa's hopeful of doing better than it has before, and probably the UK referendum as well, unless that gets brought forward to 2016, and we're still really no nearer knowing whether that will happen. So expect huge pressure on issues like the Schengen Accords on border free movement, which already are going to struggle to survive in their present form, maybe even at all. And the immigration issue is going to keep coming back.
Yes, and one lesson from the Nordic countries is that many of these parties have been actually most effective when they've moderated their own position. So it's not so much that much of a leap from mainstream conservative opinion over to where they are. And those ones that have done tolerably well when actually in government have moderated still more.
Yeah, and you could argue that about Syriza too. And if we look slightly further back, the previous generation of upstart politicians failed to really hit the mark when they were in government in the Netherlands, say, or Austria or Switzerland. So there's definitely something to this idea.
This is where Central Europe is the exception again. These parties are sticking to their guns on a lot of their more controversial positions, and there doesn't seem much chance of that changing.
As ever, Europe's not quite as united as it might seem then. Dave Sweater, thanks very much, and thank you very much for listening. Please do listen to our other RiskMap content.